and I'll leave you the clicker this time.
Good morning. As always, it is a great honor and privilege to stand before you and to preach the Word of God. I hope and trust that you have your Bible with you this morning, as we will be doing turning. I want to make sure that the sermon this morning is in alignment with the Word of God. Rarely do physical ailments befall us without some type of warning. Causing some to wheeze, some may have shortness of breath, and fever, chest pain, a cough, etc. While one may not experience all of these symptoms, one is enough to let us know that something is wrong and that we need to seek medical attention. Likewise, if someone has a heart attack, they might experience pressure in the chest, tightness, aching, shortness of breath, a cold sweat, etc. Again, while one may not experience all of these symptoms, one of these symptoms is enough to let us know something is wrong and that we need to seek medical attention. We understand that there is wisdom in not ignoring the warning signs that our bodies give us. Doing so can lead to further complications and also death. We also understand as a good practice that one is going to maintain good health. The norm. Well, I have a question for you this morning. When the spiritual body, congregationally speaking, is not well, are there warning signs? Is there something that happens that lets us know all is not well and we need to seek a remedy for the problem? Well, in short, the answer is yes. If we desire to maintain the spiritual health of the congregation, we must make sure we are performing a regular checkup. Question this morning, how do we do that in the church? How do we do that in the church? Well, join me in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's see what Paul would write there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the verse 5. Again, Paul writing there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the verse is 5. Paul writes there, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Question, how often does this examining process take place, church? Every day. Paul says we must do this. We must examine if we do not want to be reprobates, if we do not want to be castaways, put away, put off from God. Paul says doing so will keep us from drifting. It will keep us moving in the Lord. While failing to do so, failing to examine, will keep us from being with the Lord with heaven. Today we will continue our sermon series entitled The Seven Churches of Asia, and we will examine Jesus' address to the church located in Sardis. Before we jump into our first city known for its gold. In times past, many traveled to Sardis in hopes of finding gold. Likened unto the gold rush in California in the mid-1800s, people flocked there hoping to secure some kind of wealth. Sardis was the first city where coins were made. Five major roads led to this city, making it a prime location for commerce. Sardis was also the capital of Lydia, home to Croesus, Grecian king, who reigned from was a very rich man. His wealth was said to be valued at over $600 million by our standards today. In Sardis, idol worship was the normal practice. But Sardis had experienced a few catastrophes. An earthquake had destroyed it, I believe, in AD 17, and the city was later rebuilt in AD 26. But once the city was rebuilt, it was not done so according to its former glory. same can be said about the congregation of the Lord's church there. With that being said, let us notice our first point together this morning. And that is the condemnation from Jesus. The condemnation from Jesus. Revelation 3:1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith, he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So as has been the regular practice as we've been in this series, Jesus is addressing the minister of the congregation. And like before, Jesus reveals himself to this particular congregation in a distinct way. He reminds the congregation that he has the seven spirits. Individual or distinct spirits, you will remember that seven is the number of completion. While Jesus served during his earthly ministry, you will remember according to John chapter 3, the verses 34, that he had the spirit without measure. Likewise, when trying to comfort the hearts of the disciples in John chapter 14, the verses 26 there, Jesus promised to send what? Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, the comforter, that would be with them and guide them into all truth. Likewise, the seven stars represent the seven ministers at the different congregations. So, well, what does that all mean when you put it together? Putting this all together, first of all, Jesus is he who can comfort the hearts of this congregation if they would heed his instruction and listen to his words. Second, the Spirit is he who speaks the words delivered to him. And it's important that we understand that today. This is the distinct relationship that Jesus has with the Holy Spirit. You can ask anybody any number of questions about the Holy Spirit, and you might be surprised about all the answers you receive, right? I said this in Bible class once. When in doubt, if you feel your argument's not good, just blame it on God or the Holy Spirit, right? Isn't that what happens today? Well, God told me, or God just laid it on my heart, or the Holy Spirit just told me to do this. What's the problem with that, church? What's the problem with that? Well, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, the verse 1, we find that the Spirit speaks with speaking power. The Spirit speaks expressly. The Spirit speaks clearly. Likewise, John 16:13, the Bible reads there, howbeit when the Spirit of Jesus come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of whom? He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Going into verse 14, Jesus says, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. Isn't it interesting that people are saying that the Holy Spirit says things that Jesus can tell them to say? The Holy Spirit is saying things contrary to his word. Can't be the Holy Spirit, church. There's a reason why Jesus ends each address to these particular congregations by stating, he that hath an ear, let him hear what who says? Why? Listen to the Spirit. Let them hear what the Spirit saith, because the words that are coming from the Spirit are the words given by Jesus. Jesus says, I am among you. I am examining you. And because of this, next part of Revelation 3:1, I know thy works. Same Greek word being used here, iota, which speaks of a fullness of knowledge on the particular subject. A knowledge that transcends the knowledge of man. You will note that there is no condemnation to this congregation. You don't see here where he commends them for their disdain for false doctrines, not mentioned. He does not mention their richness in the midst of their poverty. Jesus does not mention their faith in light of martyrdom. Jesus does not mention their love in their service. Instead, the great physician tells this congregation what? You have a name. That you live are dead. You have a name, and that name bears life. You will recall the prophecy that Isaiah made or writes in Isaiah 62:2. The Bible reads there, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all thy kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Where is this promise fulfilled, church? Where is it fulfilled? Isaiah writes, the day is coming where God's children are going to have a new name. They're going to be called by a new name. verse is 26. Acts chapter 11, again, the verse is 26. Acts 11. He brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year that they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called what? Christians in Antioch. So this is the name given. We also find in Acts chapter 4, the verses 12, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Right? There's only one name that saves. That is the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to put all this together. If you examine chapter 2, the verses 1, we find out something there about our state before we came into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul says there that we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, right? That's where we were before we came into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. What does Paul write in Romans chapter 6, verses 4? He tells us there that we are buried with him in baptism. Going into verse 4, that when we come out of that watery grave of baptism, we are called alive. He was lost, and now he's found. What's alive in that parable, that church? Though this son had drifted, though this son had moved away from God, he was still a son. Though the relationship was fractured, he was still a son. But the father says of the son, while he was away from me, he was dead. Still a child of mine by association, but because of our fractured relationship. Now, any time, or let me say generally, this is mentioned in Scripture that one needs to be watchful. It is implied that those who are commanded to be watchful are not being watchful. Those in Sardis were not watching. Jesus says, wake up. You are asleep. This should not be the case. Take a look at 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 4, the verses 5. And now Paul's command. Paul writes there, but do what? But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, know what's going on in the place that you're laboring. That sound like a correct translation there, or exegesis? Be watchful, be aware, know what's going on. Endure those hardships that come along with preaching the word of God, but do the work of an evangelist. Keep the people in remembrance of Jesus Christ and all he has done for them. Paul's advice to Timothy. Peter to first century Christians in 1 Peter chapter 5, the verses 8. Peter would write there, but be sober, be vigilant. That is, be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He says, wake up and pay attention. Surely there were warning signs, right? Signs that showed that this congregation was not what the Lord would have had it to be. Signs that would have showed this congregation that it was declining in its health, that it was getting ever closer to death. Do you believe there were signs, church? There were signs. I believe there were signs. The leadership paid no attention to them. Let me ask you a question. What are the warning signs today? What are the warning signs today that show us or tell us the congregation is declining? It's declining from its former state and slipping ever closer to death. Well, we've been talking about one for the past 4 weeks, so you should be able to tell me one. I'm going to give you a hint. It starts with a false doctrine, right? If false doctrine has found a way to creep into the body and situate itself there and stay there, and the members adopt that false doctrine, is that not a warning sign that something's wrong and we need to change it? Warning sign. Done for you. He gave his life for you. Is it unreasonable or beyond reason that you should give your life for him? No. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we start conforming to the world, being molded by the world, isn't that a warning sign, church? We can't get around culture. We can't get around the world that we live in, but we don't have to be molded by it. How about works? Is that a warning sign? Is there something wrong? If that happens to the physical body, we say, alarm, something's not right, right? If your arm just stops functioning, you're going to sit there till we figure it out? In numbers and determine that the congregation is dying and or dead. Well, we just don't have the people that we used to, that we have heard of. We just don't have the people that we used to. X amount of people have moved to another location. X amount of people have gone to another congregation. congregation. X amount of people have had to relocate for work, and some have gone on to their heavenly reward. We're just not what we used to be. Now, I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea here. I'm not trying to over-embellish the truth. Yes, numbers do matter. Numbers do have their place, but this is not what Jesus points at, and we do well to understand that. Jesus does not say here, congregation in Sardis, you are dead because you have a decline. Numbers is not what Jesus says here. Likewise, some will determine a congregation is dead or dying because a decline in programs. Have we ever heard that before? Yeah. It's okay. You can talk to me. Bill kind of prefaced this lesson today, so it should be okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm just preaching. Have we ever heard that before? The church just doesn't have the amount of programs that it had before. And so, strengthening. Jesus says there are a few present in Sardis, and they are doing what they can to hold fast to my name. But again, if Jesus is addressing the congregation on a congregational level, what is happening here? What do you suppose is happening to those members that are doing their best? What do you suppose is happening to those members that are doing it?
Getting tired and weary and frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Aren't we humans? We're not robots. Strengthen those things which remain, he says. They're doing what they can. They're doing what they can. But they're slipping. You know, we also tell ourselves that, you know, when I'm not doing what the Lord would have me to do, you know, it's not affecting anybody else. Don't we tell ourselves? Would you agree? I was a member back in Pittsburgh, and she was telling us about a boss that she had. She said he would come in the office every day and just get down on the ground and start doing it. And I mean, he could do 100 push-ups, okay? And I asked her, I said, harsh, sister. She said, no, it's true though. She said, my whole point was I was just trying to get him to understand that you have to get your soul, you have to get your life right. Your soul needs to be preserved. You need to be right with the Lord. All those push-ups are not going to matter when it's all said and done. While you can get down on the ground or do those push-ups, at some point in time, you're not going to be able to do those things. Now, I know a lot of you would look at me and say, Ron, you're a younger man. You're just 33. But let me tell you, I already feel a difference, okay? I was joking with Bill earlier this week. I said, I know I'm still a young man, but I can't do what I could at 20. I feel it already. The body declines. Those results or the results of that exercise benefit us a small. But if we would just take this and give this a spiritual application to strengthen the spirit, man, how long will those results last? For all eternity. According to 2 Peter 1:3, we find there, according as the divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given us exactly what we need up. Strengthen those things which remain. What's another problem that this congregation had? Again, Revelation 3:2, he says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, we all know that we're not sinlessly perfect, correct? As a matter of fact, we offer up for our defense, sometimes even an excuse, nobody. He says, I look at your works and I have not found them perfect. I have not found them complete. Not only were you slumbering, not only were you apathetic, you were also suffering from the thought. This congregation started work and failed to keep them going. How many congregations of the Lord's church will have to come forward and say, that's us? We had a good idea, we put it in place, we started it, and because the results weren't exactly what we anticipated they would be, we stopped them. Have we ever heard that before? Heard it? Everywhere I've been, okay? I've heard this 15 years prior story, and I mentioned this last week in reference to Thyatira, and Jesus addressing them there. But I tell you, every place that I've been, it's 15 years ago. It's 20 years ago. My question is always, well, what happened? Why did we fail to keep those works going? Again, I want you to tie that back into the faithful few. Show of hands, who wants to see this congregation grow numerically? Okay. I believe you. I do. Are we prepared for it? It's just food for thought. Are we prepared for it? Bill's only one man. Joe's only one man. I'm only one man. And I speak for myself, and I know I speak for them when I say, we all love you. But we're still men. And we can only stretch ourselves. Things we have to think about. Are we prepared for that work? Is there anything that we can put in place and continue that work? Just move it on. And Jesus says, I have not found it. Tells the saints in Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Stand firm. Always doing what? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, we're going to get tired. Jesus says, keep us, but Paul rather says, keep going. payday is coming, Paul says. You continue laboring. You continue working. That is a statement number one. Sure. I suppose after examining this congregation and your congregation, after being told that it's dated, it's good to know that this congregation is not without hope. I suppose that would be the worst news if Jesus was to move on and say, you know what, you're in a dead state, but I have no advice for you. This is where you're going to be. Sardis is not without hope as long as they heed the words of Jesus. Sardis needed to be revived. And Jesus lays out the blueprint for this revival. Verse 3, Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how that thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief in the night, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. The first thing they need to do is remember. We have to remember. But now I'm going to ask you, what should we be remembering? What should any congregation of the Lord's church be remembering? What should we be remembering? Why are we here today? Why are we here today? To worship God. To worship
who? One true God.
What has he done for us? Well, everything is overstated. He sent Jesus. He sent his son. Remember, he had the answer to man's sin problem. That which we could not provide for ourselves. Church, we need to remember this so we don't ever take that blessing for granted. It should be more than just something we talk about in passing. You know, Jesus died for my sins. Yes, he did. And that's what you need to remember. Every day you wake up, Jesus died for my sins. He says, remember, you remember the first time that you heard that. Now, we're not told who planted the congregation here, but Jesus says, you go back to that time when you first received good tidings of the gospel. Go back to that. Remember the love that you had, the zeal that you had upon receiving the gospel of Christ. But not only does Jesus want them to remember, he says that once you recapture that love, do what? Hold on to it. Guard it. Keep it away from being stolen. Don't ever allow that love to drift away. But he says that can't happen unless they do what? Unless they repent. What leads to that? Take a look at Revelation 2:4. Not Revelation 2:4, excuse me, Romans 2:4, excuse me, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. There you have a description of the Israel's history and all the righteousness of man. Once you recapture that love you have, hold on to it. But you have to change the way you're looking at it now. This is the way you're looking at it, right? You have to change the way that you're looking at it now and allow the goodness of God to lead you there. If Sardis refused, Jesus said he would come upon them as a thief in the night. And while this language is used in Matthew chapter 25 there, as Jesus returning and coming as a thief, and deal with this congregation. And you know, we need to understand that sometimes we look at that judgment as afar off, right? Isn't that what a lot of people think of God and Jesus? Well, we acknowledge that there is some higher being, there is some higher power, but we have time, right? We have time. Jesus says, I will come and deal with them. unspotted from the world, who held true to what we find in James chapter 1, the verses 27 there. The Bible tells us there, the pure religion that undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the Father of the widows in their affliction, and to keep themselves or oneself unspotted from the world. That goes back to one of those warnings, right? Hey, something's wrong. If we're tainted by the world, informed by the world. So those faithful few, he says they will be worthy if they continue. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus. To the individual that overcomes, Jesus said, I will grant these white garments. These white garments are also referenced in Revelation 7:14. These garments having come in contact with the blood of Jesus, being pure and accepted by God. Revelation 3:6, he that hath an ear, let him hear. More scriptures I'd like to share with you, and the sermon will be yours. Take a look at Revelation 20:15. Revelation chapter 20, the verse is 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse is 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the place where, according to Revelation chapter 21, verses 8, now hear this list: the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. Will your name be say, or some will say, you can't really know. Some other religious bodies will say, you can't really know if you are saved. I tell you, the Bible tells us we can know that we are saved, church. If we can't know, what's the point? Take a look at 1 John chapter 2, the verse is 3. 1 John chapter 2, the verse is 3. 1 John chapter 2, the verse is 3. John writing there, and hereby we do know that we know him, and we do what? If we keep his commandments. Jesus also tells us in John chapter 14, the verses 15, if we keep my commandments. We also find in John chapter 15, the verses 10, that if we want to abide in the Father's love, we have to keep the Son's commandments. We can know. Who are not Christians and may be watching, I tell you the good news is Jesus died for our sins. Man has a remedy for his sins. Man has a calling for his sins as long as one is willing to make a condition given or laid out in Scripture. Now, what must I do to be saved is the most important question that anybody can ask. So we know we must do well in getting that answer right. We cannot afford to get that answer wrong. Jesus says also in John, has been revealed to us in Scripture. The Bible lets us know that one must hear the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, the verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It lets us know that one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. John chapter 8, the verse is 24, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It lets us know that all man everywhere must come to repentance. Acts chapter 17, the verse 30. But the Bible reads, in the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Romans 10:10 lets us know that confession must be made. The Bible reads, therefore, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Mark chapter 16, the verses 16, lets us know that all must go down into the watery grave of baptism to come in contact with the blood of Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. After coming out of that watery grave of baptism, they may preach on Christ for Paul to live faithfully unto death. And let me just interject this also here, since we've been doing this sermon series. Do we have a different understanding of what it means to be faithful now, church? So far, I pray we do. But it's something that we practice. Just keep that in mind. What these first century congregations were up against. And for some of these to be found faithful by the Lord. Especially a church like Smyrna. To be barred from the marketplace. All of the things that we fear are getting ready to happen in this country and that we lose sleep over and we have anxiety. They were dealing with those things. Yet the Lord looked at those individuals and said, "You have remained faithful." That's what it's all about. Remaining faithful, remaining true to our Lord and Savior, regardless of what happens here in this world. We must remain faithful. It can be the case that you are here today and you have already taken these steps. But upon reflecting on this morning's sermon, you say, "You know what? I'm asleep. I'm in a dead state. I'm apathetic, I'm lethargic, I have any number of these conditions and I need to do something." I say to you what Jesus says: wake up. Wake up. And use the time that God gives you right with Him. I say wake up and continue those works. Wake up and continue and finish that race. Because that's the only way we're going to receive that crown of life, church, is if we finish. If you're here today, you need to respond to the invitation in any way. Why don't you come as we all together stand and sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.